Our text of Scripture tonight are the final words that you find in verse number 9 of 1 Peter chapter number 2, where it simply says, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Called out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, the term Christian is one that is used in our everyday language. And the word Christian is used in connection with the first four names of a person. When we talk about someone's Christian name, we refer to that person's name that goes before their surname. And the word Christian can also be used maybe in a broad term, or if you like, a broad title. Maybe for a country. Maybe for a particular group of people that may be deemed to be religious. The claim may be often made that the Kingdom of United Kingdom and Great Britain is nominally a Christian country. Though if the truth be told, she is a country that seems to be throwing off every vestige even of nominable Christianity. Dear people, tonight, if we are to understand the word Christian aright, then we must go to the Bible. You see, the Bible is God's infallible rule for all matters of faith and practice. And the first time that the word Christian is used in the Bible is in Acts chapter 11 and in the verse number 26. And there it says, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And there we see that the word Christian is a title that is used to describe a disciple or a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Indeed, throughout the Bible, there are many verses that show to us the essential character, indeed, the essential nature of one who is a Christian. And one of those great verses is the words of our text tonight here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse number 9. Here the Apostle Peter is addressing the Lord's people, and at the end of verse 9, he speaks to them. He says that they were called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And people, it's that wonderful description of a Christian that I want us to consider tonight for a little while in this gospel meeting. The question may be asked, what is a Christian? As we would ask that question, there are three things that I want to share with you tonight, even regarding this question, what is a Christian? From the text before us here in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse number 9. The first thing I want you to note here is that a Christian is someone who was once in darkness. They were someone who was once in darkness. Look at what Peter again says in the words of our text. He says, called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And these Christians to whom Peter was writing, we see there from what is said in our text that they were once in darkness. He says they were called out of darkness. So they were once in darkness. Now what did this darkness entail? What did this darkness mean? Well, that word darkness there really refers to man's spiritual state by nature as a sinner before a holy God. These people here to whom Peter was writing, they were born into this world as sinners by nature and as sinners by practice. Indeed, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for there is no difference. And as sinners, they had a nature that was dead to God. The Bible speaks of man in Ephesians 2 verse 1 and says that man, spiritually speaking, is dead in trespasses and in sins. And in this particular state, here were a people, they had no natural inclination toward God. In fact, in their hearts, there was a magnetic pull away from God towards sin and evil and that which is contrary to God. My Christ Himself speaks of that bias towards sin in the heart of man in the Gospel of John. And He says in John chapter 3 verse 19 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And in the darkness of their sin, this people, were a people who saw no beauty in Christ. They saw no attraction in Christ, the Son of God. As it says there at the beginning of verse 8 in our Bible reading tonight, Christ was nothing more than a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense before them. And because of their sin, the same people to whom Peter was now writing, they were condemned to a lost eternity in hell because of their sin. And my, the Bible tells us that hell is a place of eternal darkness. And my, it is a place where God's darkness is known, where the darkness of the judgment of hell is felt and known. Jude 13 describes hell as the blackness of darkness. My dear people, there is no darker place in all of God's universe than the darkness of hell. Thus we see here that these people to whom Peter was writing, they were in an awful state of darkness before they became a Christian. They were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. They were dead to God. They were living in a pathway that was contrary to God. And because of their sin, they were condemned already to a lost eternity in hell. They were bound for the eternal darkness of hell itself. They saw no beauty in Christ. They saw no attraction in Christ. My, before they became a Christian, their condition was one of total darkness. The Bible says the way of the wicked is as darkness. Dear unsaved friend at our meeting tonight, can I say this? That this also is your state before God tonight as you sit in this meeting. If you're not saved, spiritually speaking, before God, your condition is one of darkness. The condition of your heart is one of spiritual darkness, and evidence of that is seen that you have no natural desire toward God. My, in your heart there's a love for sin. You see no beauty in Christ, and because of your sin you're condemned already to that place of eternal darkness, eternal judgment for your sin, because the Bible says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. No matter how religious the outward veneer may be, if you're not saved in this meeting tonight, understand this. Your condition before God is one of darkness. As you sit in this meeting tonight, you sit and you live in the darkness of your sin. Just like these people to whom Peter was writing to in our text. Yes, the Christian is someone who was once in darkness. But if you look again at our text tonight, not only were these people once in darkness, but in the second place, we can say tonight that a Christian is someone who is called out of darkness. You look at what our text says. It says, called out of darkness into his marvelous light. These Christians to whom Peter was writing, they had been called out of the darkness of their sin. Who was it that called them out of the darkness of their sin? It was the Lord himself. If you look at verse 7 there of the chapter, Peter is talking about the Lord. And he says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And he goes on to speak here further about the Lord. And down in verse 9 where text is found, he says, that ye should show forth the praises of him, that's Christ, the Lord, who have called you out of darkness. It was the Lord himself who had entered into the lives, the experiences of this people, and had called them out of the darkness of their sin. And dear friend, in like manner tonight, let me say this, the Lord himself would call you out of the darkness of your sin. That's the business of God, calling sinners out of the darkness of sin. In the book of Proverbs, he says, unto you, O men, I call my voice as to the sons of men. And my, from the beginning of time, right until the very end of time, the Lord is one who is continually calling people like you and I out of the darkness and out of the night of our sin. That's the business of God. And it is a great mercy from God that he should speak to sinners like you and I and call us away and out of the darkness and the night of our sin. Well, friend, understand tonight in calling you out of the darkness of your sin, the Lord is one who calls you to repent of your sin. And my, that really means a willingness to turn away from your sin, an acknowledgement that your sin is wrong in the sight of God. In the book of Ezekiel, the Lord says, turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? He calls you to repent. He says, repent ye and be converted. The Bible says, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And as well as calling you to repent, the Lord calls you to trust in the sacrifice of Christ alone for your salvation from sin. You look at verse 24 of this chapter, or Bible reading is found, you'll see that Peter there speaks of that great sacrifice of Christ upon the cross. He speaks of Christ and says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And there he speaks of Christ dying as a substitute for our sin upon the cross of Calvary. Turn the page over there to 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 18. He speaks again of that same sacrifice. He says, for Christ also have once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Christ died the just for us, the unjust. And do you understand tonight, dear friend, to be saved from the darkness of your sin, you must trust in Christ for salvation. My, you must trust in the blood of Christ to wash away your sin before God and to save your soul before God and to fit you for heaven. You must look by faith to Christ and trust in Him, the Lamb of God. The darkness of sin and nature's night is to be dispelled in your heart and life and soul. The Lord Himself invites you, He beckons you to come to Him to trust Him. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And that's how it was with these Christians to whom Peter was writing in this epistle. They had repented of their sins. And with that repentance, they had turned to Christ. They had looked to Christ by faith. That they were resting on the redeeming blood of Christ to save their soul, to blot out their sin, and to fit them for heaven. Look at what Peter says about them in the preceding chapter, chapter 1, in the verses 18 and 19. He says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. They were resting in the redeeming blood of Christ. They were trusting in the blood of Christ to save their soul, to make peace between them and God, to blot out their sin and to fit them for heaven. They were not resting upon their good works or the rites or the ceremonies or the traditions of men, no. They were resting on the atoning work of Christ. They had looked by faith to Christ to be their Savior. My, they had heeded this call of God to repent of their sin and to come by faith to Christ and to trust Him as their own and personal Savior. Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, will you not heed this same call tonight, you who sit in this meeting unsaved? In the darkness and in the night of your sin, friend, the Lord calls you to repentance. He calls you to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. My, you must heed this call if you're to be saved, if you are to become a Christian in the sight of God, if you are to be brought out of the darkness and the condemnation and be delivered from the awful plight and ruin of your sin. Well, the hymn writer says, God is calling now for thee. Well, think of how many times God has called you. He calls you, yes, by His Word many, many times. He calls you by His Spirit. But friend, God says, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. He calls you by His providence. Maybe things that have happened in your life, circumstances, and God has spoken to you personally about your need to repent of your sin and your need to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has come very near in that providence. Yet maybe you've turned your ear away. You've turned your heart away. May the Lord called you by His goodness. Indeed, how good God has been to you. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth you to repentance. And my God called you by the ministry of His faithful servants. How many times have you not heard the call from this pulpit or some other pulpit of your need for you to repent of your sins and to come by faith to Christ and to trust Him as your own and personal Savior? Friend, will you heed that call tonight? Will you get right with God? Will you repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Christ, the Lamb of God? Yes, a Christian is someone who was once in darkness. Friend, unsaved in the meeting tonight, realize this. You sit in the darkness of your sin and you're bound for the eternal darkness of hell. My Christian is also someone who has been called out of darkness. And friend, unsaved, God comes to your heart tonight. He speaks to your soul. What for? To call you out of the darkness and the night and the guilt and the ruin and the condemnation of your sin. You notice one final thought tonight just in connection with our text. Notice that a Christian also is one who has been brought into God's marvelous light. Look at what our text says there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and in the verse number 9. As Peter here writes to these Christians, he says, you have been called, notice it, out of darkness. And then he goes on, he says, into His marvelous light. These Christians to whom Peter was writing, they had been called out of the darkness of their sin, and they had been called into God's marvelous light. Notice our text refers to it as marvelous light. What did this marvelous light mean? What did it entail? Well, it meant the redemption of these people. That word redeem means to buy back. And by the precious blood of Christ, this people were brought out of Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and they were brought into God's kingdom, into the kingdom of light. Look at what Peter says about them at the very end of this chapter, where our text is found tonight in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 25. He says, for ye were as sheep going astray. They were once going astray in the darkness of sin. But now look at what he says about them. But are now returned, he says, unto the shepherd and unto the bishop of your souls. They were now returned to God, redeemed to God. My, by faith in Christ's atoning blood, all their sins were forgiven by God. You see, the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. As well as their sins forgiven, they were saved now in God's family from the eternal night, the eternal darkness of hell. And they were sure of the eternal light and the eternal life of heaven itself. You go back to chapter 1 and the verses 3 and 4, you'll notice there how Peter assures them of this as he writes to this people. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy have begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance, notice it, incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. There was a new destination before these people. Once they were headed for hell, once they were headed for the pit of destruction and eternal damnation and ruin. And now before them, well, there was an inheritance undefiled, incorruptible, a great hope before them, reserved in heaven for them through the blood of Christ. That's what God's marvelous light meant for this people. The forgiveness of all their sins, being redeemed into God's family, returned unto Christ, the shepherd and the bishop of their souls, the assurance of eternal life, eternal home in heaven, whenever they would come to die and leave this world and this scene of time. But it just didn't end there. By this marvelous light, it also meant for this people a new life for them on earth. You see, by God's grace, the lives of this people were changed. They were now a holy people. They were no longer under the dominion and control of sin and Satan. Look at what Peter says to them in chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15. Notice how he speaks of this change that had been wrought about in their life. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, in other words, in your darkness, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Their lives were changed. There was a turning away from the former things, as it talks there about the lusts of their ignorance. The darkness of sin had been set aside. There was a new light, and there was a new life within their soul. Their lives were changed. And they now had new desires after God. And my, they had liberty to serve the Lord and live for His honor and live for His glory. And that was the change that God had wrought in their lives by the mighty power of His grace. Look at what Peter says to them in 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse number 2. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. These Christians now had a desire for the word of God. Look at verse number 5. He says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. Notice it, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. They now had a desire for spiritual things, the things of God, the things of Christ. In their unsaved state, they had no desire for God's word. They had no desire for the spiritual sacrifices of God. But now there was a change in their life by the power of God. This is what God's marvelous light had done for this people: forgiven their sins, saved them from the wrath to come, fitted them for heaven, brought them into God's family, changed their lives. But it just didn't end there. God's marvelous light also meant that they now had the wonderful privilege of fellowship with other Christians. Look at how Peter begins verse 9 of the chapter. He says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. There he speaks of them being united with other believers in Christ as a holy nation, as a peculiar people, as a royal priesthood. They now were in fellowship with other believers in the Lord. Once they were afar off, but now they're in the body, in the family, and in the church of Christ, the church of the firstborn. And then they also had the wonderful privilege of fellowship with God Himself. They were in speaking terms with God. They were in communion with God. They now had the right and the liberty to pray and to call upon God's name as Christians. For look at what Peter says to them in verse 12 of chapter 3 to encourage them in this end. He says, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. My, it is no wonder that the Word of God calls their light as marvelous light. They had been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Christ, into the marvelous light of the gospel. Dear unsaved friend, in our meeting tonight, let me say this: God offers that same marvelous light freely to you tonight in Christ the Savior. If you will but heed His call to repent of your sin and to come by faith alone to Christ and to trust in Him alone for salvation, my, you'll know the redemption of your soul. You'll know the pardon of all your sins. You'll know peace with God. You'll know eternal life, a home in heaven. You'll know new life on earth. You'll have new privileges on earth: prayer, fellowship. My, no longer will you be in the darkness and the night of your sin. My, you'll be brought into the glorious light, the glorious liberty of the gospel of Christ. Think of what Christ himself says. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There are only two kinds of people in this meeting tonight. There are those who are following in the light of Christ, and there are those who are following in the darkness of sin. Tell me, man, woman, young person, boy or girl, which group do you belong to tonight? Are you walking in the light of Christ? Are you living in the marvelous light of Christ and the gospel? Or as you sit in this meeting tonight, are you still sitting in the darkness of your sin? On your way to eternal ruin, eternal night, eternal damnation, eternal woe, eternal judgment. Friend, if that is you, then I urge you tonight, I pray that you will turn to Christ, that you will see the importance of your soul's salvation, that you will repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior, that you will enter into God's marvelous light. The hymn writer could say, I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in the light of life I'd walk till traveling days are done. They'd found Christ as the light of their soul, as the light of their salvation. They came to Christ. They trusted Christ. And they rejoiced in God's marvelous light. Friend, you too tonight can go home rejoicing in that marvelous light. If you'll but repent of your sin, turn to Christ, and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. We're going to close our meeting.